fail. Epic fail. Epic fail.
Welcome to episode 30 of Super Podcasts. I'm your host, Super Marcy, and I'm joined by my unofficial co-host, Bede, who is also known as the Terrible Australian. And why are you terrible this week, Bede?
Okay, Marcy. Oh, boss. Sorry. So to say, how are you tonight, Marcy?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Awesome.
Okay.
Now.
Okay. Tell us. Let's get on with the show.
Yes, tell us why you were terrible. Okay. Aside from not saying, how are you, straight away.
Epic fail. Well, technically that was like, yeah, from your point, but I'll leave it at that. But
whatever.
Anyway, why am I... Okay, I'm a terrible Australian. Because I have seen From Justin to Kelly.
Oh my god. no comment. we are also joined by our very special guest, Sam Inglis, who was on the show a few weeks ago. And he, of course, runs his very cool website, 24 Frames Per Second. So, hello, Sam.
Hi, Marcy. Thanks for having me back. Hi, Bede.
Hi, Sam.
Oh, wow. You say hi to each other, but no, I'm just kidding. There's lots of love to go around. This is what happens when you have Australians and the British guy.
What, just because we transported all of you there to begin with?
We're all convicts.
Pretty much, yeah. All right. Still resent it.
Speaking of convicts.
To be fair, you got the better end of that deal.
That's true.
I was going to say.
I still live in Britain. Lucky me.
I was going to say and try and be witty. Speaking of convicts, I think the people who made the movies we're going to talk about should be convicted of crimes and sent away. Because we're going to talk about some really awful movies from the past 5 years. And the way we're going to do it is we're going to have some dishonorable mentions and then we're going to go into a top three. And to start off, dishonorable mentions, I'm going with me because I'm the best. Okay, no one wanted to comment on me being the best.
Well, that's debatable because I'm here, so...
Okay.
Yeah, I have nothing to add to that.
The people have spoken, Marcy.
Yes, whatever. All right. Okay. My dishonorable mentions. I'm going to start off with I Know Who Killed Me, which is possibly one of the biggest turds of the last 5 years, and it happens to star Lindsay Lohan, and that pretty much should say it all.
Oh, that's a little unfair.
Well,
Mean Girls, Prairie Home Companion.
I agree.
Well, yeah, there's nothing wrong with those, but there's something definitely wrong with this one. And I think she made this at the time she was going through a lot of really bad stuff, which might explain it. But I remember this movie was being promoted as Lindsay Lohan plays a stripper, but she doesn't actually take anything off. So... I guess maybe a lot of people were let down by that, but it's actually just a really stupid, ridiculous piece of crap movie. And I don't know, I don't think you've seen it, Sam, is that right?
I haven't, but I actually am really intrigued by it, and I'll tell you why. Have you heard of a critic named Kim Newman? He's a very, very good genre critic, and he writes a direct-to-video column for Empire. And he made this his pick of the month in one column. So I'm actually, if Kim Newman thinks it's interesting, then I think there might be something in it. I'd quite like to see it at some point.
What I found interesting was how bad it was. And
Fair.
It was just, the execution was just so terrible. The storyline is dumb. And, oh my gosh, there's just so many laughable things in it. And it was really disappointing because I was actually looking forward to seeing it. And then all the bad, like, reviews came out. And then it was just like, oh, I really got to see it now. And then I was like, yeah, I wish I didn't see it. Have you seen it, Bede?
Yes, I have seen it.
Did you think it was terrible?
I thought it was average.
Average?
Yeah. I think it's because it's such a, like, I just couldn't stop watching it because, like, the story is so bizarre.
It's a train wreck.
It's a train wreck of a story, but it's like like you watch it and you just can't take your eyes off how where the story goes.
Yeah, it's weird because like she, oh, it's hard to explain. Like there's two of her and there's something to do with like being kidnapped and all this other crap and yeah, and the dad is played by
Neil McDonough.
And I'm actually going to bring him up later.
He's, I think he's appeared in a lot of crap lately.
Well, yes, but
isn't Julia Ormond in it as
yes,
well?
Yes, she was. She's the
That's
mom.
That's always a good thing.
Well, Julia she might have been the only
no,
decent
she was bad
thing
in
it,
man.
But she was still the only decent thing in it, just about. There's a really weird, like, scene where she's cleaning the kitchen and Lindsay's doing something upstairs.
Oh, man, that scene was hilarious.
But, yeah, I think I should end it there because I don't want to really take up too much time with
my
dishonorable
mention. I love the music to that scene.
Oh, my God. I think it's on YouTube, but I'll go into my other dishonorable mentions. I am going to bring up a certain movie that Bede and I have debated about, and that's Paranormal Activity, or as I've nicknamed it, Crapanormal Activity.
We go again.
I think my feelings on this movie have been documented. I think it's a big turd and yuck. Very big disappointment and a shit movie. And I really, really would love to just rip Micah's head off.
So you bring this movie up more times than I do with the Golden Bat.
I'm sorry, Bede, she's right.
Yay, high five.
Yours are
two scares in the whole movie, but last 30 seconds.
There was no scares in the movie.
These are all wrong. I'm not listening to you. La, 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 la.
I'm going to go into your house and light up an Ouija board.
No, to be fair, that last moment where she's kind of, you know, pulled away from the bed really quickly or something like that, you know, down the hall, that's a good little shock. But the rest of it, god damn, 80 minutes to get there. Oh.
That's 80 minutes I'm not getting back.
Yeah.
All right, another movie I'll quickly mention, and I think this is well documented how much I hate this movie. It's the Day the Earth Stood Still remake. And that, of course, has my most annoying film character of all time, who was played by Jaden Smith. And I actually saw him on TV today, and I still want to punch him in the face. And I know that's not very nice to want to punch a kid in the face, but he's just that annoying. And this movie, like, when I was watching it, I don't walk out of movies at the cinema, but I was really tempted to walk out of this movie because it was so bad.
Have you never walked out of anything?
Never, ever.
Wow.
And this one really, like, had me ready to get up and go. But then I realised I'd been there for too long and I wouldn't get my money back, so I stayed and just tortured myself.
I think I've walked out of 6 films.
Was this one of them?
Which isn't bad, given that I've probably seen more than 1,500 at the cinema over the years.
Yeah. This one, I freaking just hate this movie so much. And a movie that I saw, I think it came out a little bit before this one, and it was another one I was really tempted to walk out of, and I have to mention it because I think it's like one of the biggest steaming pieces of crap ever made. And this will be, something I just definitely have to mention, and that's Eagle Eye. Absolutely hate that movie. Have you guys seen that?
Sorry, never got to it.
Please don't ever watch it. That's like 90 minutes you won't get back.
I actually enjoyed it.
I fucking hated it. And the alternate ending was even worse. Oh.
Yeah, well, that ending was pretty crap, I'll admit.
Oh, my God. Like, fuck now. Seriously, I just hated this movie so much. It got so irritating. And the trailer was so good. And I was hearing all this good stuff about it. And then it was like, oh, my God, this is like the shittiest
movie. The trailer was good?
I thought the trailer was good. It got me interested.
I remember deciding not to see it, having seen it.
I wish I had decided the same thing. But my lovely comments on Eagle Eye actually got published in the Australian Empire magazine. So that's the only good thing to come out of that movie. Okay.
Very cool.
So I'll pass it off to Sam, who can give us his dishonourable mentions.
All right. I know you're going to like this one, Marcy. ongoing series, Twilight and New Moon. Just, I mean, I went to see it because both my mother and my brother, whose opinions, certainly my mother's on books, I massively respect, are fans of the books. Mm-hmm. And I, out of deference to them, tried to read the first book. I got, I think, halfway down the first full page before I threw it aside.
Yeah.
but, I mean, the films are just mind-bogglingly awful. I know they're not for me, but really, must they be so excruciatingly dull?
Yes, nothing happens. New Moon was so boring. New Moon was like one of the most boringest movies I've seen. I don't even know if boringest is a word, but it is now. And Kristen Stewart, or whatever the hell her stupid name is, she cannot show any emotion. She's so bland. She has the same face. And the only difference she does is open and close her mouth or show her teeth. And that's just the start of the irritations.
Though I understand that's kind of inherent to the Bella character, that she is just sort of this empty vessel in the books. But I've got to say, I'm going to go and see Eclipse because...
I will see it so I can pay it out.
You out of it.
Go on.
Sorry, but also, what I've heard about Breaking Dawn is so completely mental, just so utterly out of its mind, that I have to see the other films so that I can understand that one, because it's going to be insane.
It's going to be, hopefully, the most hilarious thing ever because of what happens in it, and I think that's the reason why anybody actually wants to see that movie.
If only they'd hired David Cronenberg to direct it.
Now that would have been awesome. That would have been so awesome. But, oh my god, there's so much wrong with Twilight and I just cannot understand the appeal. The story is crap. I mean, they're in this massively, it really is just this stupid abusive relationship. She's like, you know, really young and Edward is actually like really, really old. And that
it is kind of disturbing.
But
it's interesting nobody brings that up in regard to Buffy and Angel.
That's because they kind of actually have chemistry and you don't care. These two don't have chemistry and you're just like, nah, this is ridiculous.
It is like somebody trying to force like magnetic poles together when they're on screen at the same time. It's really disturbingly, just doesn't work.
And, like, Robert Pattinson is just, I mean, he has shit material to work with, but he's just so fucking awful. And he he looks like he's on drugs and he wants to vomit all the time. And in other movies, in other movies he doesn't act like that. So it must be Twilight.
It's also the makeup. The makeup makes ridiculous. Him look, you know, sort of yellowish. So it does look like he's about to throw up the entire time.
Well, yeah.
But to be fair, if I had to say that dialogue,
I would want to be sick also. But yeah. There's just so much to say about how awful Twilight and New Moon are. The only good thing is that it's hilarious and it's funny, but New Moon wasn't all that funny. It was just so freaking boring. Ugh.
I've got one more dishonourable mention for you, unless anyone's got more on Twilight.
Oh, I should probably shut up before any little teenage girls listen to this and send us death threats.
I'll just say Twilight's crap, New Moon slightly better, but that's okay. It's only because of Michael Sheen, man.
He was pretty good.
I think that's why Eclipse might be a bit more interesting because he's in it more. Dakota Fanning's in it more, and she was good.
They were both good. I'll agree.
Yeah, two lines.
Yeah. All right. What's the next one? Throw it at us.
Seltzerberg. Jason Friedberg and Aaron Seltzer, the people behind Date Movie, Epic Movie, Meet the Spartans, Disaster Movie, and some of Scary Movie, and that in itself is a crime that should be punishable by, if not death, something very nasty.
I only liked Scary Movie. All the others, I hate it. And I did originally have Date Movie on my list, but since you were going to bring it up anyway, I thought, I'll leave it off and we can just talk about it.
The Date Movie upset me because I loved Buffy. I really liked that show, and Willow was always my favourite. So, Alison Hannigan in a comedy? Yes, of course that's going to work.
No.
And then you see it.
Yeah.
And you just, no.
It's vomit-inducing bad.
It is.
It's just,
oh.
It really is.
Terrible.
terrible. Don't understand why anyone thinks that any of those jokes are funny.
They weren't. You know, nothing was funny. It was so just... It was vomit-inducing. It's all just
stuff. You know, here's something you remember. Okay. Is there a punchline attached to it?
No.
No? That's a shame.
Mm.
The mind boggles.
It was... Yeah.
My problem with date movie is the fact that it's spoofing a genre that you can't really spoof, because, like, it spoofs, like, comedies, right? Especially romantic comedies. But the thing is, like, the movies that they take off, like, the scenes that they take off, those scenes are already funny. So why parody scenes that are already funny and just make them unfunny? That I don't get. Like, I can get if they do, like, horror movies or dramas and whatnot, like, because those are, like, serious moments in films that can be turned into laughs. But with this one, you're just trying to make a funny scene out of a scene that's already funny, and what you come up with is just something that's completely unfunny. That's my major problem with that movie, and yeah, it's fucking terrible, Dave movie.
It is.
Yeah, I had the exact terrible. Same problem with Scary Movie, actually, because it's like Scream is already a spoof.
In a yeah. way, yeah. I think
in a way, but not. It's more satire than spoof.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, it's different things kind of put together. I mean, I don't even think Wes Craven really knew what he had till it came out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But it's definitely taking off horror movies.
Well,
and,
yeah.
And the fact that you're trying to take off Scream, it didn't make sense to me.
I mean, I thought it was funny because it was just stupid things that I found funny. But then when they kept going with it was just like, yeah, okay, fuck off, pretty much.
But yeah, that's me done on dishonorable mentions.
All right. Bede, give us some dishonorable mentions. Okay. And I'm sure that you have, like, a massive list, but you can just cut it down to, like, a couple.
Yeah, well, if I say too many, I'm not going to have any more for future episodes. But some of my dishonorable mentions, I have to include the film Firewall starring Harrison Ford and Paul Bettany. Oh,
I never watched it.
It's pretty much Air Force One just with computers.
Okay.
And pretty much it follows the exact same plotline as Air Force, just not as entertaining.
I got to say, actually, I think I'm feeling sorry for Paul Bettany right now.
Every Harrison Ford ever film ever made.
Mm.
So bad. I just expected Harrison Ford at some point just to go, get off my computer.
If he said that in there, I'd want to watch it just for that scene.
Oh, apparently he did say it, but oh man, it's just so boring, this movie. It's cliche to the max. It just, like I said, it just borrows from every single film that Ford has ever been in, and just, oh, it's just terrible. It's a complete utter bore fest. I hate. It has a good cast. Like, of course, you've got Harrison Ford, Paul Bettany, Virginia Madsen, Robert Patrick, yeah. But they're not given much to do, and they just play these cliche characters who are just so uninteresting. Mm. It's utter crap.
All right. Firewall. And yeah. What else is there?
Okay. Another one is The Game Plan starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, I saw that on TV a little, like, not all of it. Bits and pieces when it was on TV. Oh, my God. It's really bad.
It's terrible. I like The Rock, like, out of all the action stars we've had this past, like, last decade...
Well, that's the thing.
Rock has a lot of charisma. Like, he's always very likable. But for some reason, I don't know why he keeps doing, like, all these
shit roles.
Movies.
He just keeps, like, doing crap.
Yeah, exactly. Like, give him a good action script and he can deliver. But why are you... I just have to keep thinking, Rock, why are you doing these crappy kids movies? Mm. This one's terrible.
Yeah, it was awful. Really awful. And
now he's... went and did the bloody, the Tooth Fairy.
Oh, that looks even worse.
Why? Sorry, I was sitting in the cinema in the foyer before a screening recently, and they had the trailer for Tooth Fairy on one of the screens. It just looked life-threateningly poor.
That's a really good way to put that.
I don't know why anyone would want to grade a movie like that, but back to The Game Plan, it's utterly terrible. The kid's absolutely annoying. The Rock tries his best, but he can't save it.
But it, like,
somebody save him.
But it had, like, some decent, like, actors in it as well, and
they're all crap.
Yeah, I'm just saying it had decent actors in it, but they couldn't do anything because it was so crap.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we ready to head into top three territory?
Yep.
All right, I'll go first, and I actually, because I kind of went on a bit about my dishonorable mentions, I kind of changed things around, and I remembered a movie that came out a few years ago that I absolutely hated, and I just remembered about it now, and I thought, that's definitely got to be in the top three. And it's an Adam Sandler movie called I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. And I absolutely fucking hated this movie. I thought it was absolutely just awful. And I'm pretty sure they ripped off an Australian movie that was very similar. But yeah, there was a lot of crap about whether they did or not and how it all worked and stuff. But this movie was just, it was so bad. I really wanted to just punch Adam Sandler and Kevin James in the head. Not once, but repeatedly. It was just so bad. The only decent thing in the movie was Jessica Biel, but it's Jessica Biel, so, you know. She was in her underwear.
That was the highlight for me.
That was, like, the best part of the movie. Mm. It's so awful. I mean, Adam Sandler has just, his movies have gone so downhill. And he just annoys the shit out of me in most of his movies. And Kevin James, he just really started to irritate me to the point of just, I just really just want to punch him. And, yeah, just putting this together, ugh, my God, so bad. I can't even say anything, just accept that it's awful and shit.
I didn't see it, but I remember at the time there was quite a lot of controversy about it being, you know, very homophobic.
Mm.
Is that something that
It really is.
It's like the first hour or so of the movie has a lot of very homophobic jokes, and this by towards probably the last 20 minutes of it, it has like the standard, oh, you know, gay people aren't that bad, we should love them, and like, oh, you did too much damage beforehand, mate, it's not going to work.
Yeah, it's just such a disrespectful movie as well. And
it's so sad when a new Adam Sandler film comes out, because every time you're just looking at it and you just think, no, you ruined Punch Drunk Love. What are you doing? You can act.
Yeah, but apparently he just wants to make shit.
Mm.
Shit with his friends.
Yeah.
What can I say? That's you know about what? All I want to say on the movie. So
you know what's the most sad part about that movie? You know who that movie was written by? Alexander Payne.
The Chuck and Larry.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Now we've all gone silent because we're all in, like...
I thought he'd, like, wrote and directed Sideways, Election, About Schmidt.
How could he write that?
Apparently...
I didn't love those movies, but at least they're literate.
I think from what I've read, I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard about this a while ago, like, because at the time, like, a director came... I think his name was David Dobkin. He, like, did Wedding Crashers. And when he came on, he wanted to... Like, the script at the time that was written by Alexander Payne and his co-writer, Jim Taylor, it was a very sophisticated script, like comedy script.
And it got dumbed down big time, I'm assuming.
Exactly. And Dobkin just didn't like the fact that Adam just wanted it, like, you know, do shit jokes and homophobic jokes and stuff like that, so he just left the project.
Yeah. That's interesting. Mm. All right. I'll pass it to Sam for his number three awful movie.
Right, well, this is actually the thing that sort of started this whole idea for this podcast off, because I talked to you a bit about wanting to talk about this film when you talked about it last week, and that's the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street, because I listened to your podcast, and while I really enjoyed it as ever,
thank you.
I couldn't believe how easy you went on that flaming piece of dog piss.
There's a reason. By the way,
Nightmare 4 reference.
Yeah, I kind of think if I watch it again, and I do want to watch it again, I'm probably going to end up hating it even more, because I'm probably going to pick up on so much more that I missed the first time around.
The thing is, it's not like A Nightmare on Elm Street is a perfect movie to begin with, but it's certainly an interesting one, and it's definitely, at points, a frightening one. Oh, neither of which you can say about this film. I mean, I was stunned by how dumb it is and how dumb it thinks I am.
It is pretty dumb.
There's that lovely line where they're talking about micronaps and, you know, how if you don't get enough sleep, you'll fall into a coma.
Yeah, right.
A sleep you won't wake up from. I'm educated. I know what a coma is. You don't have to tell me.
Yeah. The thing that got me about that is, and I brought it up on that podcast, is that I have, like, suffered insomnia for a long time. And I've had, you know, days on end where I haven't had any sleep. But I didn't have micro-nap. And I didn't get it fall into a coma. So whatever they're trying to say that it's real is a load of crap. So,
the other thing was, I just thought it was totally illogical. None of it tracked. I mean, you see them sleeping a lot,
well,
and yet they still get these micro-naps.
Well, I mean, yeah.
How long does it take place over?
They don't actually give you a time frame. And
are you serious?
Apparently these kids don't know how to stay awake, and they have micro-naps while they're swimming.
Oh, that was just
ludicrous. The dumbest thing.
I think the thing that really sort of rubbed me the wrong way was how they portrayed Freddy. And, you know, a lot of people have kind of praised it and said, oh, they've gone much darker. That's not true. I mean, he's wisecracking as much as, not quite as much as Freddy in, like, Nightmare 5, but, you know, there's a lot of wisecracks. And even when it's not a wisecrack, all his dialogue is just these random non sequiturs.
Some things he said really reminded me of Rorschach. In Watchmen.
And also the fact that they try to extract humour from the fact that he's a child molester is really offensive.
Well, what I thought was just kind of weird is they just made him... I mean, this isn't really a spoiler because it's kind of just been put out there anyway. He's only a child molester. He didn't kill the children. Originally, he was still a child molester and he killed the kids. In this one, he just molested them. He didn't kill them, but now he wants to suddenly kill them. None of it made sense. And it also didn't make any sense that, like, these kids don't remember it and they don't explain it.
I talked about all this in my rather long review.
It was a very long review.
I was quite cross, what can I say? yeah, it was lengthy even for me. But, you know, I brought that up in the review, but it doesn't make sense that he kills anyone because his pathology is not that of a killer.
No.
In the backstory, it's
but
weird.
If anything, wouldn't he kill if he wanted to kill, like, wouldn't he go kill the parents who killed him?
I would have thought that if you're following the logic of this version, and I know how
stupid that sentence is. Let's face it, there wasn't much logic, really, when you think about it.
If you're following the logic of this version, what he's going to be doing is invading the dreams of the next generation of Elm Street kids, not the generation that he's already messed with when he was alive.
I thought it would have made more sense.
That's his pathology.
I thought it at least would have made more sense if he went after the parents, but maybe Clancy Brown is too much of a badass for him to want to go into his dreams. I don't know.
What's that point?
I'd be scared of Clancy Brown too if I was Freddy.
Hey, after seeing him in Highlander, that man is badass.
Oh, yeah.
well, hopefully we didn't spoil the movie too much for you, Bede, because I know you haven't seen it, but...
I'll tell you at some point.
It's not something that you can really... Like, it doesn't really matter. Just go in and watch it. You're either going to just think it's retarded or you'll like it.
Well, I'm not really a huge... Like, I do like the Nightmare Elm Street films, but I'm not a huge fan because I'm more of a Friday the 13th fan. So I'm probably just going to be like, while watching it. But I do love, although I do love number, like, the first film, the third film, and Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Give some love to the second one. It is
Oh, the second excellent. One is definitely, is like, up there as one of my awesomely favourite bad movies. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
it's a terrible film. Yeah, oh, but it's an interestingly terrible film.
Exactly. It's interestingly terrible and absolutely hilarious.
But don't get me started on Freddy said, oh man, that fucking hated that movie.
Well, if we were talking like about awful movies from the early 90s, that would be right up there.
That movie's like an abomination.
Yeah, Freddy's Dead is straight from hell. It's a terrible, terrible film. Redeem it with New Nightmare.
Oh, well, yeah. The
movie, best of the series.
The thing that boggles my mind is, I think it was Breckin Meyer who gets killed in the video game thing. That was, like, the most retarded thing ever. With the power glove.
I will say the power glove. I will say this, even if I don't like end up that liking the if I sorry. If I end up not liking the remake, I'm just gonna pretty much say at least it's not as bad as Freddy's Dead. That's all I'm gonna say.
But I'm not sure you can say that.
I will.
I think it's at least as badly acted. I mean, Rooney Mara.
I've hardly seen
such a vacancy on screen.
She's, I think I said it in the last podcast. She's like right up there with Christian Stewart, with not able to emote at all.
And that's the thing. I liked her in Youth in Revolt. You know, pretty girl, seemed to be able to act a little bit. You know, fine. And here, just
she's so boring,
staring blankly at, you know, out into space as if somebody's suddenly prodding her and saying, "You're meant to be acting, dear."
They should have cast her sister, probably. Kate Mara.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with her. I know of her, but I haven't seen any of her stuff.
Well, she's good. She's a good actress.
Mm. I think we've ragged on this enough. I'll let Bede say his number three.
Okay. My number three is Eddie Murphy's Norbit.
I haven't seen it. I don't want to see it. The trailer and the poster made me want to vomit.
Yeah, it's pretty much probably the lowest point of Eddie Murphy's career. I mean, this movie was so bad that it cost him the Oscar.
What was he nominated for? Dreamgirls, right?
Yeah, he was nominated for Dreamgirls, and everyone, he was like the front runner to win that. Then this movie came out, offended everybody, and then they all decided to vote for Alan Arkin. It's absolutely terrible. When you think the only high point of this movie is Tandy Newton, and that's saying for much for me, because I don't like Tandy Newton, so...
I thought the best part about the movie would have been the credits.
Well, that too. at least Tandy Newton, at least that gave a pleasant enough performance so I didn't claw my eyes out all the way through.
Ugh.
I
never want to see it.
I haven't seen it either, and... I haven't seen any of Eddie Murphy's sort of recent family stuff, you know, the Daddy Daycares and the Meet Daves and all of this stuff. It's just, you know, first of all, it's not for me.
It just looks crap anyway. I don't think he's done anything like that great for a long time as far as, like, comedies go.
Bowfinger, I think, was probably the last one.
I like Shrek and Dreamgirls, so those are and Bowfinger as well. So those are probably the only three good movies that he's made in the past 10 years.
Yeah, and Shrek was just a voice, and he kind of looks like the donkey.
Oh man! But in the movie, he plays like he plays a number of roles,
as he normally does.
Yeah, he plays like an Asian character called Mr. Wong, who's just a complete Asian stereotype.
You mean like Mickey Rooney in Breakfast at Tiffany's?
Oh, but it's much worse.
Really?
Yeah. And also, like, he plays, like, of course, playing Norbert, but he also plays Norbert's, like, fiancée, Rasputia.
Right.
Oh, she's, like, probably the worst character you would ever see in a movie. I mean, I would... you just wouldn't want to be anywhere near her. She's that repulsive and repellent as a human being. That you can't believe that poor Norbert has to put up with her, but then again, he should because his movie is fucking terrible. So.
Is she as annoying as that character from that movie you brought up a few podcasts ago?
Oh, she's not that annoying because,
I can't remember what the character was called.
Carol.
What was the movie?
Oleana.
Yeah.
Oleana, that's David Mamet.
Yep.
Right.
Don't get me started on Carol.
Well, yeah, you kind of get really angry about Carol.
I actually forgot to mention the last show that she was an absolute bitch, so...
Yes.
But also, Rasputia is also a complete bitch as well, and she's a horrible... As a character, she's a completely horrible character in every single way. As a human being, you just keep wondering, why do you even exist in the world?
Yeah, sounds pretty bad.
It's terrible.
Mm.
Utterly terrible.
Utterly terrible. All right. So I'll go back to me for my number two. And it is one of the biggest stinkers ever made, and it's called Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li.
Oh.
This movie is just, like, the biggest abomination. Oh, my God.
Oh.
It's just...
Is it worse than the original Street Fighter
movie?
Oh,
my God, the original Street Fighter is, like, the best movie ever made compared to this one.
It's... Yeah, the original Street Fighter...
like that when I was 12.
At least with the original Van Damme version, at least it's entertainingly bad, but this one's just bad.
Yeah, the original is so bad, it's kind of good that you can just, like, have fun and laugh at it. This is just so bad, you want to shoot yourself in the head.
Mm.
And Neil McDonough is in this movie, because as we said, he seems to just show up in some really shit movies. And he plays Bison, and in the old Street Fighter, Bison was played by
Raul Julia.
And this is supposed to be, like, a prequel. I don't know how, like, he could be a younger version of him, but whatever. It doesn't make any sense.
The movie just doesn't make sense.
Well, no, I mean, there's a scene where he, like, aborts a baby.
It goes all Breaking Dawn.
Well, yeah, it's like, it is like Breaking Dawn. It's totally just, like, when I think about it, I'm thinking, oh, my God, something like that's going to happen in Breaking Dawn. Chris Klein is...
He's in a universe of his own in that movie.
Just something else. It's insane. Like, oh my
he's
God.
He's the best part of that awful
movie. He is. He's entertaining in the awful way. He's just...
Yeah, I've heard about that before.
Yeah, he's just... It's legendarily bad. And, I mean, at least, like, something good to look at, that Moon, whatever her name is, who was in Terminator Salvation... I mean, she's terrible in it, but at least she's nice to look at.
Moon's blood's good.
Yeah, at least she's... Yeah, that's it. At least she's nice to look at, but she's pretty terrible. And I absolutely hated Kristen Croc, blah, blah, whatever her bloody name is, from Smallville. I hated her in Smallville for the most part, and I just absolutely hated her here. And it just... I think the casting in this movie is so much worse than the other Street Fighter. Because people really just don't make any sense in these roles at all.
Well, particularly Kristen Kreuk. Because, I mean, I understand that she's got some Asian blood. I was told about that. But she doesn't look remotely Chinese.
Not at all. At least in the original Street Fighter, the actress who played Chun-Li was actually had a Chinese background. And she was probably the only good casting in that movie. But at least she fit the character. But this one was just like, what the hell?
It's not like there's a shortage of good young Asian actresses. I mean, you don't even have to go Chinese. Look at Korea, look at Japan.
Well, yeah, but apparently they're just like, oh, we're going to do some really crap, stupid movie. And also note that Michael Clark Duncan is in it.
Well, he was the only one who actually fitted the role.
Well, actually, if I think about it, he was Balrog, and Balrog is like a big black boxer. But everything about it is just terrible. Mm. And how bad is Robin Shou, who plays Gen, or whatever? He was, what was his name from Mortal Kombat?
I've
gone blank.
Liu Kang.
I was going to say Bruce Lee. That's who they based the character on. In Mortal Kombat. Yeah, he's terrible. Ugh. Everything about this movie is fucking awful, and it really should be avoided at all costs.
How are the fights?
Crap. I don't know if there are fights. It's just retarded.
If you're going to get one thing about Street Fighter right, you need fights right.
Yeah, I think the original Street Fighter really had maybe, like, two fights in it. But at least there was fights, and at least there was, you know, something decent about it. But this one is just, bleh, gosh, yuck. All right. I should shut up about how bad it is.
All I could say is avoid the film and just go find, like, a Chris Klein montage on YouTube. Yeah,
just watch Chris Klein and have a laugh.
I do actually like Clint Eastwood. That would be funny.
Him channeling Clint Eastwood is awesome.
Oh, that does sound fantastic. Yeah.
Smash out!
Alright, enough about this turd of a movie. Sam, hit us with a number two.
Well, indeed. Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. I mean, what is there left to say about how bad Revenge of the Fallen is? I think the thing that offends me most about it...
Robot balls.
Aside from robot balls, racism, rampant jingoism, and a massively pro-war attitude, is really the fact that it cost $250 million. It's like, that's how stupid Michael Bay thinks we are. You know, that just by spending $250 million on things looking pretty, that he can afford to put absolutely no effort into anything else, and it will eat it up with a spoon.
Mm.
And sadly, he's proven right in this case. I mean, it's offensive in its lack of effort. You know, they didn't even try to write a screenplay that made any sense. Yeah, you know, they spent 2.5 hours explaining everything. I still don't know what the story is.
I have to agree with you for a lot of that.
The thing that struck me when I was watching it, because I was so bored.
It is boring.
It's excruciatingly dull. But the thing that struck me was there's a moment in it when they say that the Transformers have been there for millenniums. No! I mean, at the very least, if you're going to spend $250 million making a movie, have somebody do a grammar check on the script. Millennia! I mean, I know it's a small thing, but it's one of those things that just demonstrates at every possible level how little effort went into it. I mean, if you can't even get the grammar of your screenplay right, what hope for anything else? I mean,
I think that was the problem effects, that nobody read the script.
This is quite possible. The special effects are, you know, relatively decent. But the problem with it is, once you get into the action choreography, you've got all this gunmetal grey hitting all this other gunmetal grey. So you can't tell what's going on. There's no action choreography whatsoever. It's just stuff hitting stuff.
Mm.
And because it's just computer graphics being sort of thrown at each other in this haphazard sort of way, I don't care. You know, I've got nothing invested in it. It's not interesting in any way because there's no characters.
By the time anything really happens, you're that fucking bored.
Something happens?
Well, at least, you know, at the end, how they're supposed to be having a big fight, then I was just... they're ready to vomit.
I mean, it's all, you know, there's stuff going on, but none of it means anything. And, you know, I know that's probably not very important to the target audience. They just want to see robots punch each other. And, you know, that could be fun. It was vaguely fun in the first one, but maybe I'm just being old-fashioned, but shouldn't there be some sort of point or idea behind the stuff?
Apparently not. I am not a fan of Transformers 2. I liked the first one because I thought it was fun. This one was not fun. It was irritating and stupid and boring and long. And watching it in IMAX, I was getting dizzy and sick and it was an excruciating experience, and it was physically excruciating because I fell up the cement stairs at IMAX before the movie started and I really got injured. So... yeah,
should have taken that as an omen.
Yeah, really. I fell over and I managed not to spill my drink, so that was at least something good. But
I think the only reason I didn't walk out of it was that I had another film in the same cinema straight afterwards. And it was like, either I've got to sit through this, or I've just got to go and waste 2 hours, and there aren't any shops around here. Mm. Oh, I'll stay. Yeah. It really was that get me there, the fact that there was no shopping in Prospect.
Mm. And I know Bede kind of likes this movie.
Epic fail. I wouldn't say I loved it.
Explain yourself, sir.
I don't have to explain nothing, man.
No, you okay, really I'll explain.
All right. I'll just say this. I'm a huge Transformers fan. I've always been since I was a kid. So, like, I absolutely love the first film. I've, like, seen that one, like, 6 times now. Because that's how much I love that movie. But with the second one, though, I think to me, like, yeah, I agree with the criticisms that everyone has talked about, except the racist robots, because I personally thought they were more stupid than racist, to be honest. But
they're racist because they're so stupid.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that, but
they're literally step and fetch it.
What were they called? Skid marks or mud flaps or something?
Something.
Yeah. I think personally, for me, like, even though I didn't, like, I honestly didn't think it was bad as anyone made it out to be. And trust me, go watch Bolero, and you tell, and Transformers 2 is like a masterpiece compared to that movie. But
nice comparison.
Well, yes, those pretty two much films really make sense together.
Yeah.
Oh, well, in some kind of context, it probably is. But but anyways, as I was saying, I think to me the problem was is like with all sequels, like where like Michael Bay thought, well, I got to make this bigger, 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 bigger.
Yeah, he thought bigger, 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 but he wasn't thinking better, better, better because he took everything that was wrong with the first one and blew it up 1,000 times in this one.
Well, that's true. I admit that. And also the fact is when they went into the movie, they only had like the writer's strike, which I know that's not the most perfect excuse, but the fact that they had like 4 months to write the script before the shooting began is a clear indication that
I could have moved the release date then. I'm sorry.
I could have written something. I seriously could have written something way better than that in 4 minutes.
Well, true. Not so like I just kind of take kindly to that, but at the same time, I think the real problem is that it lacks the heart of the first film.
Well, and it
the,
also...
like the Steven Spielberg touch, I would say.
It's so fucking long. Like, it could easily be edited down to a 90-minute movie and it probably would have been way better.
Well, it still wouldn't have made any sense, though.
Well, probably not, but maybe. With good editing, it might have made sense.
That's true.
Well, yeah. Michael Bay doesn't have good editors. I mean, the action scenes look like they were prepared by a monkey putting the footage in a blender. But
that is just the funniest way of putting that.
But that's what Michael Bay does.
Too funny. Yeah, I can't really argue with the pick because this movie irritated me. And in a lot of my earlier podcasts, I completely just rag on this movie a lot. So... Yeah. I think, Bede, it's your turn for your number two.
After being vilified, after that, because I am the Megatron of this podcast. But anyway.
It's not you, it's the film.
Yeah, but for me, someone liking it, that's just like, you know, people are just going to, like, shake their heads. Why? Anyways.
Continue.
My next pick. Is the UK film Donkey Punch.
Oh, nice one, sir.
Not seen it.
Don't.
It's terrible.
It's horrible in every single way. It has the most unlikable characters I have ever seen in a movie, and it just irritated me from the get-go. It has horrible full-on graphic sex scenes that are not sexy at all.
Oh. Well, that does not sound appealing whatsoever.
And I don't know. And it's like has a really, just really crappy story. And I don't want to go into like what the plot's about because it's just crap. It's pretty much like a bunch of characters get on a boat, something happens, and they pretty much try to kill each other. That's pretty much it.
And have really unsexy sex, apparently.
Actually, the unsexy sex actually leads to this. Bad thing that's happening. If you know what the title's about, then you'll figure out what that bad thing is.
Well, yeah.
If you don't, by the way, don't Google it. Yeah,
it's not. It's not very nice.
No. I will say there's one good thing about this movie.
What's that?
The fact that at the beginning it uses the Rex the Dog remix of the Nice record Heartbeats, which is a brilliant mix of a brilliant track. Otherwise, nothing.
It's horrible. The thing is, like, if you're going to make a movie like this, you got to at least have a likable character or two in there. Like, sure, you can have your, like, unsympathetic characters, but you got to balance it out with likable characters. But none of these characters were sympathetic at all. Even the characters we were supposed to sympathize for weren't that sympathetic either. And there was this one character, I can't remember who he is, the actor who played him, but I do remember what he looked like because he had like this scar on his upper lip. I don't know what his character's name was, and he just bugged the hell out of me throughout the entire movie. Oh, Absolutely hate it. I should have brought him up. I can't remember.
I think there's a final girl problem with it as well, in that, you know, with a horror movie, you've got your final girl and you're supposed to be able to root for her and, you know, sort of get invested in her, you know, surviving or killing the killer. But first of all, there's no sort of defined villain. And second of all, yeah, the survivor girl, the final girl, is completely unsympathetic, so you don't care what happens to her. You just, I mean, I remember sitting there going, yeah, can we just kill everyone now so I can go home? You know.
Sounds bad.
I wish I turned it off. That's how really irritated I was by this movie, but I kept pushing on.
Yeah. So basically it's a movie that's, its title is a really gross sex act, and apparently the sex act makes people want to kill each other or something.
Oh, no, it's really more what the aftermath of it.
Okay.
Let's just say somebody dies from the sex act.
Yeah, I can see how that could happen too.
Yeah, and they don't know what to do, so they start getting, and it's all like, then they get start getting all paranoid with each other.
Okay, sounds good. And
that's... It's not a terrible premise. Actually.
Yeah, it could have worked, but they just—it's just crap.
It just sounds like obviously they didn't know what to do with it. Really,
yeah. It's just so murky and that's one of the things I noticed about the film, is that it's so murky. Like, it's really ugly to look at. I guess that reflects the characters in the movie as well. So.
They're all ugly.
I think Marcy hit the nail on the head, though. I think they kind of had that one idea, that sort of donkey punch death, and then, you know, tried to build a film around it, but failed.
Yeah, it's just like a, I guess, a one-note kind of premise, because, like, once that, if you're going to build a horror film around, like, a very violent sex act, like, that's just, like, and build that as the premise for your movie, it's not going to really work, because if everything else fails, like, in terms of characters and story, and it's just not going to work overall, and it's just going to pretty much just be a one-note film, or a one-joke film in a way as well, because, oh, I can't talk about this movie, I really hate it.
Fair enough. We'll go back to me and I'll tell you my number one. And this is a movie that I saw recently and it fucking pissed me off and I fucking hated it so much that I thought, man, I gotta like totally rip on this film because I fucking just hated it. And that would be Legion. Oh my God. I could just, this is like, you know, 100 minutes I'll never get back. And I do not understand. I cannot comprehend really how anybody can like this movie. And I know, Bede, that you kind of thought it was okay, but this movie is just so fucking bad. And it's a real stinker.
I can see, like, why you hate the movie. And, like, there are a lot of things about the movie I do agree with you. Like, it has plot holes the size of the Grand Canyon.
Oh, my God.
And the plot doesn't make sense at all. But I don't know, for some reason, I kind of just enjoyed it as kind of, like, this kind of cheesy, kind of B-grade action movie guilty pleasure.
I don't know if... I think the only other movie, like, recently that has really pissed me off and annoyed the shit out of me this much, I think the other movie that would compare to it recently would be Paranormal Activity. But my God, like, I feel sorry for Paul Bettany because he's made two movies on our discussion and he's a really great actor. And he's probably like one of the only decent things about this movie, because he's not altogether bad and he really tries with the crap that he's been given. And the only other thing that I liked was Kevin Duran, who played the other Angel in the movie. But everything is so bad. The story makes no fucking sense. Like, they set up all this stuff and none of it makes any sense. It's so fucking stupid and it gets even worse. And my God, I love Dennis Quaid, and I just have not seen him this bad in anything. This is like the worst thing he's ever done, and I really just wanted to punch him because he was that bad. And even worse is Lucas Black as the son. He is so irritating, and his character is actually one of the most irritating fuck faces in a movie, and I can't believe I left him out of that annoying characters podcast. He so should have been on the list. And I just you can see that I'm pretty angry about how shit this movie is. And I can't understand how people were going on about the Doug Jones character. He's in it for like a second and he's not even memorable. I wouldn't have even recognized him unless if I didn't know he was in it. Just little things like that. And I mean, I thought the trailer was actually pretty strong and I thought, yeah, this looks like something I'd watch, but it was just so fucking bad. None of it makes any sense. It's so fucking stupid. Everyone but two people are spectacularly bad. And this movie, I would put it on a rocket and send it straight into the sun.
The only thing I've seen from it is the poster. And I've even got to say, that's kind awesome. Of a mix of massively stupid and really quite awesome.
The thing that gets me with that poster is it looks like it's so badly photoshopped. I mean, it's kind of cool because he's like an angel holding weapons, but it just looks so fake. But, oh my God, Legion is like so crap. Just terrible. And it's gets boring and I hate it. Can you tell that I hate this movie?
I can feel your pain.
Yeah, there's a strength of feeling coming through the speakers there. Yeah.
I really fucking hate this movie. And if I had the DVD, I would seriously just use it as toilet paper. Because that's all it's good for. The end.
And that's the end of your recliner of rage.
Yes. I will now gladly pass it on to Sam for his number one pick.
Well, this really is my number one pick. This is... Of the probably 7,000 films that I've seen over the years, I think this is the worst, certainly the worst professionally made film I've ever seen. Custodial sentences for all involved. The collection and destruction of every existing copy, print or DVD. It's the hottie and the naughty.
Oh,
I haven't seen it and I don't want to.
I'm very, very sorry. Okay, I'm sorry I've done mankind a disservice by seeing this film. Though I did see it online, essentially I stole from the filmmakers, which makes me feel better.
I have to applaud that.
And I've got to say, I only saw it out of pure curiosity because Mark Kermode on Five Live gave it such a kicking. I thought, can it possibly be this bad? And so I hunted it down and saw it. And it's not that bad. It's worse. It's not just bad. Its existence is bad for the world. It is evil. Actually, it's fascist. It's a fascist tract, essentially about how if you are in any way unattractive, you should change yourself immediately. You should fit in with the status quo, even if that means excruciatingly painful cosmetic surgery. Because if you don't fit into the status quo, you will go through life alone. You know, unattractive, fuck you. You know, it's that, yeah, it's fascist, essentially. At the very best, it's body fascist. But I genuinely find it to be an offensive and almost dangerous film in what it says and the audience that it says it to. Because, you know, it's essentially a mainstream romantic comedy pitched at Paris Hilton fans, so young and teenage girls. And films that are pitched to that audience just shouldn't be saying things like this. It's not right. I mean, never mind that it says it badly, or that it doesn't have a single competent performance in it, or that, you know, Paris Hilton has all the on-screen charisma of the chair I'm sitting in. You know.
It seems like what it's actually about is, it seems like that's the mentality that Paris Hilton probably has.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, she's an executive producer on the film, so clearly she helped raise the money for this abomination. And, I mean, one of the supporting roles, this is maybe my favourite credit in all of history, one of the supporting roles is played by a comedian, and I use the word advisedly, called The Greg Wilson.
He has to put a "the" at the start of his name.
The Greg Wilson. Okay, first of all, there's nothing funny about that. Second of all, there's nothing funny about him. I mean, it's like watching the lowest possible rent knockoff of, I don't know, Fat Comedian. Can you think of a fat comedian? Kevin James, maybe? I don't know. I haven't seen him in much. But it's like the Z-grade version of him.
Well, then that would be pretty bad.
I mean, it's not even competently made. It looks like an overlit sitcom made by a 13-year-old who's just discovered girls. It's got an offensive premise because it's about this guy who, after being dumped by his girlfriend, moves to California, where he tries to find the girl that he had a crush on in elementary school when they were seven, you know, and basically starts stalking her. It's really disturbing. I can't believe it exists. But I've seen it. It does. It's real.
I was going to say, you've seen it. It does exist, unfortunately.
Yeah. And as I said, it's bad for the world, but that is true.
Mm. And I think Bede has seen this movie because this, the viewing of this movie, I think it might have been one of the first things that made him a very terrible Australian.
No, I think it was long before that. yeah, this movie was pretty bad. It was, yeah, I pretty much agree. I don't know if I hated it as much as you, but yeah, it's still pretty bad.
Oh, it sounds awful, and I hate Paris Hilton.
Yeah, I mean, why? Why does Paris Hilton, well, do anything, really?
Why does she exist? What is she? She's just nothing.
I mean, not why does she exist, because, yeah, that puts me in the same hateful category as this movie. But why must she be famous? What does she do? Yeah. What is she for?
She does nothing, and that's one of the annoying things in the world, is that people like her, who do nothing, they have money, they're, you know, popular, and they have TV shows, they have all this crap, and they just do nothing for the world as a whole. And it's very sad. And everyone's gone
silent. Yeah, I mean, I really have very little more to say on this. It's evil. Don't see it ever. If you see somebody looking at a copy, instruct them not to buy it.
Burn it.
Yeah, I mean, generally just do all that you can to make sure that it is never, ever seen again. Deepest hole ever dug.
Yeah.
You know, all copies in it.
Throw it away. Send it, put it on a rocket and send it into the sun.
I think it might hurt the sun.
All right, Bede, your number one pick.
Okay, I had the bit of trouble trying to figure out what my third one is because there's just so many bad movies out there. But I'm actually going to go with one that nobody's ever heard of, and it's actually an Australian movie, and that movie is a film called Prey.
Prey?
Prey.
As in P-R-E-Y?
Yeah.
Like prey of
that kind
hunting
of prey.
Trying to describe it, and it's just not working.
Yeah, it's a yes.
Actually,
right.
I think I know what this is. Is this Natalie Fuckface movie?
Yes, Natalie Bassingthwaite.
Sorry, Natalie Bassingthwaite. I absolutely hate her. So,
oh man, this movie.
Who?
Good question.
Exactly.
She's like she used to be on Neighbours, and
that's why I haven't heard of her.
Yeah, you're actually sane enough to be a British person who doesn't watch Neighbours.
Well, she used to be on Neighbours and then did singing, and then she's like has done a couple of other TV shows and whatnot. But anyways, back to the movie. Oh man, this is probably one of the worst Australian films ever made. Probably in the top five, I'd reckon.
Yeah, I've heard really just the worst things about this crap movie. It's supposed to be a horror, is that correct?
Oh yeah,
some bullshit it's supposed outback to be a horror. theme or some crap. I don't know.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a horror.
Supposed to be. The horror is how shit it is. Probably.
Yeah, it's like it was my pick as the worst movie of 2009, hands down.
Okay.
And it has the worst CGI I have ever seen in a movie.
Even worse than the sci-fi original movies, like Octo Shark or whatever they're called. Worse
it's
than
much,
that.
It's much worse. I mean, they have back CGI backgrounds throughout most of the movie.
Oh, my God.
And it's just, like, horrible. It's, like, the worst CGI. I have to show you the trailer later. It is, like, has the worst CGI backgrounds of all time.
Oh, man.
It makes the CGI backgrounds in the room look fantastic.
the room has CGI background.
It does. When I show you the movie, Marcy, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But Prey...
Prey, avoid.
You'll have to tweet me that trailer. It sounds fun.
Oh, it's absolutely terrible. It's pretty much like a bunch of, like, free couples. And they've all, like, got mixed accents. So even though they're all Australians, except for one, they all, like, have a mixture of, like, American accents in that.
Right.
And the only... And you, in a genre film like this, you're going to need, like, at least somebody... Somebody famous in it, like, you know, a name actor, and you know who they got it for this movie?
Natalie Bassingthwaite.
Besides her.
I don't
they
know.
Got, they got Don Johnson sung Jesse Johnson.
Now that is a pisser and a half.
Cause, like,
that's just sad.
That's like who they could afford to be in this movie.
Oh my god. Alrighty then.
Oh, it's absolutely terrible. It's pretty much like...
It
like
sounds this. Bad.
I can't describe the plot because the plot doesn't make sense at all. And it was one of those films where, like, whenever you see it on, like, on Joe Blow, and the other thing that this film is famous for is, like, at the time it was, like, got a lot of press because Natalie Bassingthwaite, like, has a lesbian shower scene in it.
It sounded like you were saying she has a lesbian shat scene.
Oh, it kind of is. But she has a lesbian shower scene, and the thing is, like, that was the thing that got reported a lot about the movie. And then the funny thing is, like, it's not in the movie.
Oh,
she
you
does have a
that.
Lesbian kiss in it.
Oh, how exciting. Not.
But it's not that exciting.
No, I was saying it's just not exciting.
It doesn't make me turn at all. It's completely horrible. Like, oh. Like, it's getting released in the US, but it's going under a different title called, what is it, The Outback?
Okay. So,
and that's where the movie should have stayed, in the Outback, where nobody could ever find
it.
It's horrible. Completely horrible. Look for the Prey trailer on YouTube, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Save your, like, money or even downloading this movie. Just watch
it. Just don't watch it.
Don't watch it.
Okay. So, I think that's a wrap for our... podcast, and hopefully we have been helpful to people who might have been considering seeing some of these really shit movies and now they won't. So it's always good to be helpful to other people and make them aware of the shit that is out there. And I'd like to thank both of my guests for coming on the show and for talking crap movies with me.
It's always a pleasure.
Anytime, Marcy.
Oh,
thank you.
I love how everyone wants to chime in at the same time, but that's only because we're on a 2 second delay. So, yeah. And I'd just like to encourage everybody to check out Sam's awesome website, which I'll have the link to on the podcast post. And everyone can just go and check out Bede's Twitter and just annoy him about stuff.
I just
have to say, I'm on Twitter now. I have arrived in the 21st century, everyone. 24 FPS UK.
Yeah, I was going to say, give us your Twitter, but you've done it already. Fast man. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, as usual, I've been awesome, and you guys have been pretty awesome, but I was just slightly more awesome. Sorry.
That's debatable, but...
So
I'm getting invited back, you're not.
I'm sure you'll both be back, and I'll also be back, and for once I'm not going to do a bad Arnold impression, so I'm just going to say catch you next time.
See you, everyone.
See you later.
Call me Mesh. You just inherited a big problem. Bodies piled up in the harbor. They were the heads of the ruling crime families of Bangkok, correct? The Bangkok, correct? The Bangkok, correct? The Bangkok, the Bangkok, uh-huh, the Bangkok.
Nash, somebody's about to own the Ministry of Commerce.
Nash, Nash, Nash.
Call me Nash. Come here. This guy walks through the raindrops.
cocking those gold handcuffs. Cocking
New Year's come early.
Cocking those gold handcuffs.